Hi there. Oh, it's been so long since my last podcast, but yeah, a lot of things going on. And yeah, anyway, I'm back here, and today I would love to read to you a story that I wrote not so long ago about learning outdoors. I've been having quite a lot of conversations these days about education in general and how, yeah, like differencing between systems that encourage more the like theory, other like practical. But anyway, I'm just gonna jump into the story and I hope you enjoy. Children crawl, run, jump, climb, they get dirty playing in the land, they dance under the rain. But it's easier now to see that in all films rather than reality. It's not only you who notice, there are more and more kids playing with an iPad now, or just being inside rather than being outside. But let me tell you something. In the city center I grew up, I also went to school, from primary to university. I was taught things that helped me in different aspects of my life. I learned about history, philosophy, languages. I learned how to do marketing campaigns for customers to buy a product, even if they don't need it. How to use electronic devices and make artificial intelligence solve problems for you. I also learned how to use computer programs to be quicker solving maths problems and forget about multiply large numbers with my brain. I learned things that I value, but some more than others. My high school backyard was next to a train station with a big building surrounded by high and colorful fences for the kids not to jump over or climb up. It was built with the purpose of kids being safe inside, they used to say. My university was in a beautiful modern building, and the backyard was green grass with trees planted in perfect lines and benches for us to enjoy the sunshine, recreating a natural environment in the middle of a modern city. And after high school and university lessons, we had homework to complete at home in order to pass exams and obtain our diplomas successfully. I was studying a lot at home, and sometimes I was going to the library, you know, a building where you couldn't hear any noise. Some of my friends said that it was better for them to study in the library because they could focus more. You know, some of them, they were putting headphones on, listening to calm music or music recreating the sounds of nature in order to boost their concentration, they said. You know, it's not necessary to dig deep to see that we actually crave nature and it's in our human constitution. But when we started to have fun with technology, we forgot about our essence and we believed we were bigger than others. You know, time passed and years later, I realized that over the course of those years, I didn't really have the time to wonder what I wanted to do. My time was organized and planned since I was pretty much in primary school. And I said to myself, I'm confused now. You know, all these years studying according to a plan for what? To be successful, but where? I didn't know where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do. You know, and when I was 14, I started to ride waves and I thought, oh my God, I want to do this my whole life, you know. From the ocean, for me, everything seemed that, it seemed I could see the world from a different perspective. I could notice how my senses got richer when they were out in nature, and I could learn things that I was never told before. Looking for different waves, I could hear stories from different cultures. I could see my horizon was just getting wider and my passion was getting bigger. I learned to expand my senses, and I learned to feel more, to cultivate love for people, for food. I learned to love Mother Earth, you know, and I kind of say that surfing saved me. Like, being outdoors reconnect me to something much bigger than me, to the natural world. And I knew how little I was in this big round ball. You know, one day I was walking with a friend through some of the most beautiful, like, nature paths close to where I live in Galicia, in the northwest part of Spain. And we saw this kind of, like, campsite with a vegetable garden, tables and obstacles and ropes to play in the middle of the trees. You know, everything we could dream of as kids, like a place to play, you know, a place to be a kid. And it really felt like magic. And we were wondering if it was something built for a kid's birthday, or maybe someone just built it, but it was nothing of that. It was a real school. It was what is called a forest school. Amadahi was the name, which means, like, water forest. You know, this school, located in a natural area, is right next to a little island where, like, three rivers meet, developing different currents that used to make it difficult for the old fishermen's boats to pass by. But anyway, we end up discovering everything is inside this way of schooling. You know, the system is not new. Some of you probably know, but it was inspired by the Scandinavian system around the early, like, 20th century, in order for kids to learn in nature at their own rhythm and interests, you know, and without any walls and without any CV. We were really curious about how kids learn in this place, and we got invited to observe how they interact and how a typical day looks like here. And I remember we were there for several days, and I was, like, completely amazed by, like, how joyful, free and respectful, like, kids were. You know, I was amazed by how different the playground was from what we had in our school. And there were kids from, like, 2 to 6 years old, where everyone was interacting with each other. You know, the little ones learning from the oldest, and the oldest learning from the youngest. You know, their school was an open space with this, like, big rural house and a natural environment where they could explore by having, like, rich sensory experiences. Like, they were developing their creativity and co-creation. It was a place where you could see they could, like, truly be themselves, having, like, experiences that are really essential to childhood. You know, this, they were following a pedagogy based on, like, hearing and observation, and the main purpose here is for children to create a link with nature. You know, children play, like, freely, and they are observed and heard by teachers that, you know, they play a really important role, and they know that there's no kid equal to others, and that they have different stages of development. You know, the founder of Amadahi, she's lovely, and she told us, like, you know, nature is the perfect place to learn, to play and to learn, where everything has no fixed structure. And this is why it's an endless, like, source of inspiration, where lessons are in every corner and every process. You know, it's a place where everything changes, and this is why inspiration and learning also do, adapting to that changing form and suggesting, like, new creative challenges and processes to enjoy, to play, and therefore to develop. You know, many other studies have, like, also shown that, like, natural places have an incredible amount of information with an enormous potential for new discoveries to appear. You know, in this place, through free playing, children are able to learn by experiencing from their curiosity for the world. I mean, no matter the weather, they can always go outside using different clothes that allow them to feel nature in all shapes and forms. You know, the materials they use to get familiarized with numbers, for example, they all come from nature. In fact, it has everything they need to learn, from different textures, smells, flavors. And, you know, as seasons change, learning also does. Sometimes when autumn comes, it's time to collect chestnuts, cook and eat them at the fireplace, telling stories about the season. But when the spring comes, the pumpkins grow better. So children plant their own food at their backyard garden, and this food is food that they eat after on a soup or a pumpkin cake that they cut with a real knife. You know, I was amazed by seeing a super young kid with a real knife building confidence on what they can do, you know, and learning how many pieces they have to cut in order for everyone to have a slice. You know, it was like really tasty maths, you know, because these kids, they might not know the names of each Pokemon, but they might learn the name of each tree. You know, in our days of observation, I could notice in between them conversations like filled with love, like a lot of care and respect. You know, I'm not saying they are not superheroes, but they do have a learning environment that fosters that kind of interaction. You know, one day I saw a teacher bringing an old pair of rain boots to one of the students. The teacher told me, you know, the teacher told the student that she was a really lovely kid, and okay, if they don't fit you, we will give them to Sophia because she's smaller than you. Is that okay? And then I see the student, she was so little, and she was running to Sophia, to whom she whispers, "Hey, Sophia, if these boots are not for me, they are going to be for you, okay?" And after I realized that she was 4 years old. You know, in a world of jealousy and competitiveness, these interactions are the exception that can become the norm. You know, sparking imagination, learning to reason, think, and feel. Schooling nature can be a piece of the solution to many environmental problems, like climate change, food waste, deforestation, or even contamination. You know, as Richard Loeb writes, there's a disease called nature deficit disorder, of which it doesn't exist a medical diagnosis, but everyone knows what we talk about. Not only computers, televisions, and video games are keeping kids inside, it's also their parents' fears of traffic, strangers, getting dirty, ill, and their school's emphasis on more and more homework. Their structure, schedules, and their lack of access to natural areas. We live in a world with problems that we don't even know where they came from. Maybe it's better to build a house from its foundations and teach children things that can provide harmony within nature. Because rather than protecting the environment, it would be better to create a world where the environment doesn't need to be protected. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy, and see you on my next episode.